to the Heart and Soul Summit. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this event and the publisher for Powerful You Publishing. And I'm so excited to be here. And I really do love talking with all of these amazing authors of this upcoming book, Heart and Soul. They are such inspiring women. I love their stories. I love the energy that they bring to the world. And I know you love that too. And I know you're here specifically because you want to hear these topics that they're talking about. Especially today, we're talking about resilience. And I'm really excited to talk with Mae Fox, who is our co-author, who's talking about this. And her topic is My Resilience Breakthrough, How I Changed My Mind and Healed. I am really excited about that because I know that changing your mind can heal you. And I know Mae's going to tell us more about that. But before we start talking with Mae, I'm going to read a brief introduction of her, and then we'll get right started with this interview. Mae Fox is a registered nurse, hypnotist, energy healer, and wellness coach based in the Finger Lakes region of New York. Her passion for self-healing, coupled with her innate ability to help others move from self-judgment to self-empowerment, led her to create Amazing Mind-Body-Soul Center. There, her clients find a safe, sacred space in which they can heal past wounds and discover their individual path to wholeness. Mae is a speaker on resilience for the medical community and public, and a board member of both the Professional Women of the Finger Lakes and Business Improvement Development for City of Canandaigua. And Mae, I'm so excited to talk with you today. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk to you as well.
Great. You know, I love so many words in your title of this interview, resilience, breakthrough, change, healing. It's wonderful. So I just want to jump right in and have you talk with our audience about this. And first, to get started, would you share a little bit about your journey and how it's led you to where you are today?
Of course. Thank you for, again, having me on this interview. I'm excited to be a part of it. But really, what started my personal journey was a life-changing experience that I had as a teen, and I really did not know how to handle the emotions that it created. So I became numb, so to speak, because I was so afraid that if I did allow myself to feel these emotions, I would get stuck in the pain of them. So living life really without feeling anything was how my world became. It turned into a grayness, so to speak. So I was living in this world of grayness, and I shifted when I got tired of that, when it became uncomfortable instead of serving me. And so the journey of healing really began when I was ready to start feeling, learning what my emotions are, learning how to deal with them. And once I started to do that, I was able to start to feel the entire spectrum of the emotions. So when I stopped feeling the pain, I also stopped feeling joy. So when I chose to start feeling my emotions and working with them, I started to live with more joy. And this path really opened up the doors for my career as a nurse and also as an energy healer, eventually opening the path for me to do the center.
Yeah, that's amazing. So how many years did it take? You said that started when you were a teen. How many years of this not feeling and living in this gray space was it?
Yeah, it was over a decade, so over 10 years, really, before I got so uncomfortable and knew that there was something going on, that there was something better, that I needed help to heal. So it was a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, and we're ready when we're ready, right? And we just know when we're ready, so that's when you were ready, so that's great. You know, Mae, so what personal roadblocks have you overcome along the way?
The first one that I mentioned was the shift or the change in my experience as a teen was the loss of my twin sister. And then within a few years after that, my father passed away. And between those two deaths, I feel like I was thrown into like this pool of fear, fear of public speaking. I had no confidence, fear of flying and anxiety. But, you know, two of the biggest ones, fear of somebody else dying and fear of my own death. So learning to overcome those fears, those were the biggest roadblocks in my life.
Wow. And, you know, so we're getting to that first word that I love, and the thing that you talk about so much is resilience. So maybe you can tell us now, it had to take a lot of resilience to come back from this. What does resilience mean, and why is it important?
Resilience means to me, it's like how we respond to what's happening inside, how we're influencing our behaviors and our thoughts, but also how we're responding to the outside, the changes and the stresses in life, what the world brings to us, things that we feel are out of our control. So resilience really is how we respond and learning to not react. So resilience is harnessing our own strength, utilizing our tools from outside, the resources that we have within and without, I usually say. And also, you know, it's the foundation of our healing. So I feel like resilience, when we harness all of our strength, pulling ourselves back into shape, that it keeps us moving forward instead of staying stuck in a train of thought. So that's what I believe and feel resilience is.
That's great. As you're saying that, I'm picturing a rubber band. Does that,
yes.
Is that an accurate? Yeah, that seems like, I was thinking, wow, just kind of like it can come back or not, you know, depends on what's going on.
It's the perfect example. And as a matter of fact, that is exactly what I use as the example of resilience, because it can get stretched out of shape or it molds, you know, to the experience. And then as it reforms itself to the new change, it's really pulling itself back into shape, right? Super resilient.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. That's great. And so is resilience something that we can cultivate?
Resilience is. I believe it is a state of mind. So it's our thought process. It's how we choose to change with the changes in our lives. Sometimes we don't change, you know, and that's where we get stuck in that space that I would consider the grayness, where my life was, you know, slower, denser, harsher, filled with more pain, or numbed. So when we can shift ourselves out of that through molding and bending and being flexible, knowing that life is never the same, that we're always going to have to mold and move, but it makes us stronger and it pulls us back into shape within ourselves. So
yeah.
Resilience is, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we're evolutionary beings, right? It just, we just keep doing that. So that's, we do have choice in the matter too. You know, I think
yes,
that we all,
do.
Yeah, we all have principles that we build upon in our lives and we decide what's important to us. We create our values from them. What would you say is the number one principle that's had a really big impact on your own life and that has helped you to achieve really good results that you've really wanted?
The number one principle in my life is really about my ability to expand my mind. I love to challenge my belief system. So when I share with myself, this is a question that I say often is, why not? Why not? Why don't I try these, you know, things that scare me? Or why wouldn't I move into a space that might be uncomfortable? Or why don't I believe that life is so much bigger? I find that if we keep our minds or our thoughts contained in a box, that that's exactly how we feel. Small, constricted, stuck, fearful, confined. So if we can expand our minds or our thoughts, challenge that box of belief and open it up, then all of a sudden it's almost like there's a huge fresh air that comes in. And that's one of the biggest principles in my life is to expand that. If it's uncomfortable, that thought is uncomfortable, then shift it to a thought that could be comfortable. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, that's one of my favorite words. Expansiveness is one of these things. I chose it a couple of years ago. I chose it like for my word of the year. I pick a word, right? So expansiveness is my thing, and that's exactly how it feels. You know, whenever I say, okay, I want to expand, it's amazing what possibilities come up and what new ideas come through.
Mm-hmm. I believe that we can really limit ourselves by what we think, the shoulds, the shouldn'ts, all of those. So if we can just move into a feeling of good, even if it's a little bit outside of our box of belief, if it feels good, why wouldn't we spend time thinking that?
Yep, I'm all about feeling good. I'm with you on that one for sure. I love that. Right. So, yeah. So, May, you know, you work with a lot of clients. You've been working with them for many years. What would you say are the three most common reasons that clients like to work with you?
The three most common reasons that I work with a client, first of all, is regression work. So that is quantum healing hypnosis. As a certified hypnotist, this is a technique that I use with many of the clients, and we move into a place that does exactly what we were just talking about, expands the mind, helps to find the purpose, moves into behaviors and habits. So most of the work I do is with quantum healing hypnosis, and then I also love to work with traditional hypnosis, changing behaviors. So the thought process is a fascinating function. So when we have a thought, it's our major creator. If we have a thought, then we can choose to believe the thought or not believe the thought. And that's either one, create a behavior. And then that behavior creates habits. And the habits ultimately create our life. So when somebody's working on changing their life, sometimes they go back as far as the habits. With hypnosis and the work that I do with my clients, we go all the way back up to the thought process. So it's almost like instead of being the salmon swimming up the stream, we can be the waterfall going down where all of this stuff just kind of flows into change. And that's why I love doing hypnosis work with clients. And then the third reason is energy shifting. So balancing the energy. Yeah, I would say those are the three top reasons that a client would come and see me.
That's great. And so it's interesting because you're saying those are three, and that they seem so cohesive to me. Do clients often work with you on all of those?
Yes, that is what I love to do, to really bring the three, combine the three, so that, let's say I work with a client doing quantum healing hypnosis, they learn some really great information, and then we have a conversation later and they don't know how to integrate the information to make that change that's suggested to them. So then we would work into the hypnosis, so move into traditional hypnosis and start to shift the belief system, start to move the habits and the behaviors so that they accomplish those goals more innately. And then, you know, the energy piece just kind of envelops the whole process because we're always moving into it with intention. So, but we can go in and do some deep release work with the energy piece. So it's all, yes, they're all very complementary.
Yeah, that sounds like it. So that's neat. You know, hypnosis, I think about hypnosis, and I know, you know, years ago, many, many, many years ago, I used to think that hypnosis was, you know, a bunch of, I thought it was like mind control or something like that. Maybe you can tell us a little bit for our audience. I think that most of our audience is aware of, you know, the hypnosis in different ways that it's used for healing and you know, shape-shifting and belief systems and that. But maybe you can tell us about, are there misconceptions or maybe myths that people have about hypnosis that we'd like to shift?
Yeah. You know, everybody will walk in the door. Just yesterday I had a client who was talking about her husband wanting to send in a bunch of things that I could program into her to help her do easier for him, you know, things like that. So, you know, it's hypnosis is not somebody making somebody else do something, some sort of act or behavior. It's more about you accepting the information that comes in. So if a client hears something that is said during the session that does not resonate with them, they dismiss it. It doesn't take effect. It doesn't take hold. So no, in essence, it's not about brainwashing. It's not about being asleep either. People don't come in and take naps during the process. But you get incredibly relaxed. And during that relaxed state, that's where the work gets done because we can access the subconscious mind much easier when a body's relaxed. And then, you know, another misconception is that, you know, somebody's afraid that they're going to share a really deep, dark secret. So they're afraid all of their truths are just going to be spewed out like it's a truth serum. And that's not true either. So whatever the client is comfortable sharing, gets shared that's appropriate, but there's no invasion that happens during the process, especially when it's used in a tool of healing. So we all see all these wonderful entertainment pieces where somebody will cluck like a chicken up on stage and all of this. And I say that's wonderful. But imagine, right, if we can use that exact same tool to help you achieve your goals, if it's so powerful that you accept a suggestion to make yourself cluck like a chicken, imagine if you wanted to use this for your own purpose, for weight loss, for mind expansion, for confidence. This works incredibly well. And to touch base back on those people that do end up being a stage entertainer, they go through a bunch of testing. So they'll pull up a bunch of people, and each one will go through a series of tests, which look like, little queuing. And eventually, when somebody's not following the directions, they get pulled off. So there's only a handful of people left. And those are the people who are usually don't care what other people think. They like being the center of attention. And that's how come that works so beautifully out in the community, you know, as entertainment. So does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about that. So there's the power of suggestion, right? And that's why somebody will cluck like a chicken or do something, you know, whatever that is. So I guess, is that how that works? So if you want to lose weight or stop smoking, is that what it is? The power of suggestion is dropped in and that's how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. So it falls in line with your goals. So it's motivation. So we're going to go all the way back up to that thought process. So if somebody wants to diminish their desire for chocolate, then we'll go up during hypnosis. You go in and you seed in the thought that chocolate, they have no more desire for chocolate. And what will happen is they'll go in and have the opportunity to reach for chocolate. And I consider this to be a space creator. So it creates space and choice in those moments when they didn't feel like they had control. But now they're sensing something in themselves where they're not so drawn to the chocolate. And then they can make the choice that falls in line with the goal that they want to achieve. And it can be very easy. It's a wonderful tool.
That sounds great, except I would never suggest not having chocolate. That's one thing I will say to you. But I understand what you're saying, but that's one of my things. All right. Goodness. So, Meg, let's talk about this now. I know that you have a passion for helping others around the issue of loss, and I'm going to guess it has to do with your father and your sister, but will you just expand on that a little bit, how you help people with loss?
Yeah, I feel like when somebody is holding on to the grief of a loved one who has passed, then that emotion feels really heavy and it's painful and we get stuck in that process. And there's, you know, when we begin to trust that life is more, as I mentioned earlier in the expansion of our thoughts, and starting to see that we can open our minds, when that piece happens, the grief begins to lift. So it doesn't feel so heavy anymore. And, you know, I was able to believe once I started to open my mind. So I'm going to retract a little bit. When I was processing the death of my twin, I felt like I was separate from her, that I was separated from her. And as I learned that life is so much more, that our spirits move on, that death is not the end, as I started to accept these beliefs into my thought process, then I was able to shift a little bit of that, well, a lot of that pain, truly, and to heal. And that's where I found my resilience. And actually, that's what I would consider to be my breakthrough. My resilience breakthrough is how I started to learn what I was thinking was directly connected to my emotions. So when I started to believe that life was moved on beyond death, that I was able to start building a different relationship with my sister. And once I felt that freedom, that helped to really move me past the grayness and the feelings of being stuck in the guilt, survivor's guilt, you know, all of that, fear of my own death. And my heart began to heal. So at that point, I became a participant in my own life, and I learned that if I could do this, then anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's beautiful, really, to hear that, because, you know, I talk to so many people, you know, many of our authors, and also just people in my own life that are kind of stuck in guilt or stuck in grief, I'm going mm-hmm. to say, or they're stuck in that loss. And so they're very challenged by it, and they're having a hard time living and thriving in their own lives because of it. Why and how can we help to resolve some of these challenges that people have with death and dying and loss?
There's a, you know, it goes, boils right back to your belief system, what you choose to think. And life can pass us by very quickly if we're choosing to live in the guilt and the sadness and the anger, or, you know, even jealousy of somebody else being able to have, you know, a sister or have a parent participate in their life, where we're viewing that and missing out on that, or at least sharing with ourselves that we are missing out on that. These are slower or lower vibrations, and if we spend too much time sitting in these frequencies, we almost cannot keep up with life. And I believe that's what happens when we're feeling stuck. So it almost feels like we're being passed by, or at least not feeling it, not being able to participate in the emotions, especially the joy and the happiness. And that's why it's so important to move past this, to expand, to challenge your belief system, to open up to higher truths. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. And I'm so happy that you're out there helping people do this. And I imagine that a lot of people that work with you understand, they know some of your story, that, you know, that you've experienced this yourself. And so, you know, you have this intimate understanding of how to help them as well. So I love that you're doing this work that you're doing. And, you know, I love, May, that you shared this story in the book too, the Heart and Soul book, as far as your loss and your sister and how you've moved forward with your life with this. And I think it's great. And, I know, May, that some of our listeners are going to want to reach out to you, and I also know you have a gift for them. Can you please tell us about how we can reach out to you and also what your gift is?
Absolutely. So there's two great options. They can go to mayfox.com, which is mayfox.com, or they can go to amazing.com, which is amazing.com. Either one of those, I have contacts that they can reach out to me. But for the free gift, and I'm really excited to be able to offer this to the listeners, is I am offering a 15-minute stress release hypnosis session, because our healing truly starts when we can stop and relax. And so all you need to do is go to one of these sites, click on the contact, shoot out a message that says Heart and Soul. And when I get that, I will send them out each a 15-minute relaxation hypnosis session.
Wonderful. That sounds great for stress relief. Ah, oh, that sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who can't use that, right?
Everybody can use that. That is for sure. Well, that's great. What a wonderful gift. And May, I so appreciate you. Today has been great. I've enjoyed talking with you. I love the information that you shared. I know that is absolutely going to help those people that listen to it. I'm so happy that you're showing up in your life the way that you are and doing the work that you're doing. I really appreciate you. And thank you so much for being a part of this book and this summit and everything.
I am so excited. And I want to thank you so much. I almost feel like saying allowing me to be a part of this. It's so important to share the message, but I feel truly honored. So thank you.
You are absolutely welcome. And listeners, thank you, because I know that you are listening to this because you want to feel more resilient in your life. You want to live more from your heart, inspired by your soul. And that is why you're listening to these amazing interviews, and you're going to read this book and these really incredible stories that will help you on your own journey of living from your heart and soul. So thank you. Please continue to listen to the summit. Be sure to buy the book on launch day, which is November 14th. And when you do buy that book from Amazon on launch day, you'll be able to bring your Amazon receipt number back to our website, enter it in there, and you'll be able to receive lots of free gifts from our partners. So you'll have this amazing book, plus you'll have these incredible free gifts that will also help you on your journey of living from your heart and soul. So in the meantime, everyone, I wish you a beautiful day, and just put your hand on your heart, breathe in, and feel that beautiful energy that is your life. Have a great day, everybody. Bye for now.
Living from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all